from BBC Sounds and CBC Podcasts.
I like to swear a lot. The following podcast is presented by me. Therefore, there will be swearing. There will be swear words and there will be bad language, probably regularly. If that sort of thing isn't for you, consider yourself warned. I want to tell you a story. A story about something that happened around 20 years ago. Or maybe it didn't happen 20 years ago. Maybe it did, though. The year is 2003. Beyoncé is crazy in love. There's a blockbuster video store on every high street across the Western world. And Instagram is called MySpace, or Bebo. The world has just fallen in love with a 17-year-old girl in a tartan skirt. Okay, that sounds weird when I say it out loud. It looked fine when I wrote it. Can we rewrite that? A Canadian teen named Avril Lavigne is shaking up the whole music industry. The neckties, the eyeshadow, the fuck you expression on her face. She's the picture of teenage angst, and the world laps it up. Avril's debut album, Let Go, is the second best-selling record of 2002. She goes on to release 6 more studio albums and still performs to sold-out crowds to this very day. But what if that isn't the same Avril we all came to know and love? What if, as the story goes, she was replaced by a body double? I know what you're thinking. Impossible, right? Well, not so fast. I think this story could be true. I want this story to be true. So who am I? Well, my name is Joanne McNally. I'm a comedian. I tell jokes of an evening, and I get paid for it. It's a great deal, I know. It also means I have a lot of hours to kill during the day, a lot of TikTok scrolling time, trawling through internet chat rooms, time to consume and dissect several conspiracy theories a day. And I have a new personal favourite. Did Avril Lavigne die and get replaced by a body double?
Making her first ever television performance. Make some noise, your number 5 request, coming to you live from MTV Sure Thing. It's called Complicated, it's 5. Here's Avril Lavigne.
If you want to know what I think that I am, I think that I'm just a rock chick.
The persona of Avril Lavigne was edgy, it was young, it was angsty, it was rock, and it was teenage punk.
I like to scream, I like to holler, I like to break things, I like to yell.
Avril's style started to suddenly change and become very feminine. Where did Avril go? Who is this person? This is not the Avril that we know and love.
It's not even just a rumor. It's that I'm dead. Aren't they saying like that I'm an imposter?
Mm-hmm.
This rumor is everywhere. And while she can deny it all she wants, according to TikTok, that person speaking there was a body double. I intend to find out the truth. To finally answer the question on everyone's mind. Has Avril Lavigne died and been replaced by a goddamn lookalike? From BBC Sounds and CBC Podcasts, I am Joanne McNally, and you are listening to Who Replaced Avril Lavigne? Episode 1. What the hell? Wow. Alexandra Palace. I'm here at Alexandra. I sound like David Attenborough. I'm here at Alexandra Palace amongst the throngs of Avril Lavigne fans. Like, there's a lot of fishnet, a lot of tartan, a lot of Doc Martens. It's exactly what you would think. They just look like Avril fans. May 2023, in some kind of pop punk pilgrimage, a mass of ripped jeans and tartan skirts were trekking up a steep incline to North London's Alexandra Palace. Their idol awaiting them atop the hill was Avril Lavigne. She's doing 2 nights to sold out crowds. At this point, I should probably mention, unlike the thousands of fans around me, I didn't buy a ticket. I'm not a huge Avril Lavigne fan. I didn't grow up obsessed with Avril Lavigne. I always thought she was cool, but I wouldn't have been a huge Avril Lavigne fan. So I just wanted to come and get a feel of why people love her the way they do. No shade. This was not my natural habitat. But one of my producers, Callum, very aggressively thrust his headphones and microphone into my vicinity and I started vox popping.
Can I ask you some questions about Avril Lavigne for the BBC?
I'm from the BBC about Avril. Just a couple of quick questions about why she's so amazing.
Came to my first concert when I was 5.
I'm a 90s kid, so grew up with Avril, let loose to Avril.
I've loved Avril Lavigne since I was 9 years old. I am 30 now, so it's still my personality, I guess.
What do you love so much about her?
I think it's the teenage angst just really coming out. I just think she sort of encompasses everything that we felt as kids growing up, as teenagers, and just all of that, you know, that boy drama and all of the like friendship detachments and yeah, everything really.
So when you think of Avril, what comes to mind straight away? Like what pops into your head?
Baggy pants type thing.
The low hip trousers, the tie. Like tie around the neck. I don't know, guitar and
you, like not caring what people think and stuff.
There's a music video where she does a poo in the middle of a mall. And I remember watching that and thinking, that's the best woman I've ever seen. Women can do anything. Yeah, just really punk. Yeah.
Okay, Avril love it over. I eventually got to the hard-hitting investigative journalism stuff. I started probing about the Avril Lavigne replacement theory. Have you heard the rumour about Avril Lavigne?
Oh, what, the one where she died in like 2003 or something?
What did you hear about it?
Same rumour as everyone else, that she died years and years ago and replaced her just after the second album, I think it was.
Oh, apparently she died in 2003 and they cloned her.
Oh, I was told it was her best mate because they look alike.
Melissa lady or something.
Yeah. I believe it.
At this point, the gaggle of Avril fans, or Black Stars as they're commonly known, made their way past security and into the venue, either to watch their hero or a random clown woman called Melissa. Alan, can you put the kettle on, please? I was back in my current boyfriend's house. It was time to start investigating. So I'm here at my desk and I'm not too pleased about it. I'm not a desk person. But I guess now that I am an investigative journalist, this is what we do. I'm going to do the research. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to really get to the bones of the Avril replacement conspiracy theory. Because, to be honest, at the moment, I feel a little out of my depth. Let me set the scene. Laptop, check. Notepad, check. iPhone, check. Coffee, check. Which, outrageously, I had to make it myself. Either way, I was ready to go. I'm just trying to figure out if she's dead or alive, but I need to know what the signs are, what are the clues, how did it all start, stuff like that. So I'm kind of just, you know, what would Stacey Dooley do? I guess that's where I'm trying to put my headspace. For our international listeners, Stacey Dooley is Britain's answer to Michael Moore. Kind of. She's a bloody good investigative journalist. What would the Dooley do? Is Stacey Dooley on TikTok? Is Stacey Dooley on TikTok? Okay, we're getting somewhere. And actually, once I had TikTok open, I started making real progress. It turns out there's this whole collection of great information on TikTok. There's a reason TikTok is so popular. It's basically the modern library for people with no attention span like me. You can find out how to cook a carbonara, how to donate your own organs, how to burst a cyst. And you can also find out how Avril Lavigne is dead and was replaced.
This conspiracy has always freaked me out. Allegedly, when Avril Lavigne debuted in 2002, she found the fame incredibly difficult to handle, so her label employed...
I spent quite the afternoon, / evening, / morning, / afternoon again, scrolling my life away. The result? I felt I was an expert on the theory. But I also discovered something else on TikTok too, something called the protege effect. It says the best way to learn is to teach. I was the teacher. I needed a student. Gro, thanks so much for taking the time to come into my studio. If I want anyone on board with me for this journey, it's you.
Okay.
Gro Farrelly is a comedian, but more than that, he's an Irish comedian. And even more than that, he's one of my best friends. And even more than that, he says I'm not one of his. You're a good balance of cynicism, but also delusion, which is what I really need right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I've been doing a little bit of work on a little known theory. I don't know if you're familiar.
Okay.
Avril Lavigne, who you know.
Yes.
Not personally, but you know of.
Yeah.
Canadian, did you know that?
No, I thought she's American.
I know.
She has kind of like Valley Girl vibes.
I did too, which I'm sure thrills the Canadians. There was a theory that Avril Lavigne is in fact dead.
Okay.
And was replaced by a woman called Melissa. I know what you're thinking. She's definitely dead.
That's not my immediate reaction.
You're thinking this makes complete sense from day one and I've no more questions. She's dead. Fair. She is either dead or has completely retired, like off the grid into the wilderness, no longer working. And there is some evidence to suggest that this is true.
I'm going to need to see all that evidence.
Yeah, that's okay. I knew you'd want evidence. I knew you would. That's good. That's healthy. You should want evidence. To help lay out the evidence, I drafted in a couple of experts, people I discovered on my internet deep dive. There's Silas Dean, host of the Creep Time podcast.
We cover all things that are chilling, mysterious and unexplained, and occasionally a conspiracy theory or two.
And fellow podcaster, Christiana Morgan-Rotz.
I would also describe myself as a pop punk connoisseur, an enthusiast.
You'll hear them pop up now and again just to clarify things where I wasn't clarified. Because while they don't have official qualifications in conspiracy evidence analysis, they know a lot more than me. I think the reason why she did so well at the time, everything was quite pink, bubblegum, poppy.
Yes.
Yeah. It was your one, blonde one. What's her name?
Christina Aguilera.
No. Other one.
Britney Spears.
Yeah. Avril Lavigne arrived at a time when manufactured pop was dominating the charts. Circa 2002. Here's Silas.
They knew like a young girl could sell, like a teenage girl could sell in the market because Britney had the success, but it couldn't be the same act as Britney.
So quite blonde, very pretty, sexy, virgins, you know, all that kind of vibe.
Okay. And she was like the complicated person with the eyeliner.
Angsty. Yeah. Grungy. They kind of credit her with pioneering the pop punk scene. She married pop with punk. No, you don't agree?
Shampoo did that in 1995.
Okay. You're showing your age now, Garelli. Which you're right. I don't know. But look, she's credited with it.
It's gone into the podcast.
She debuts and it's a huge success. The record was massive. It went number one in like Australia, the UK, the US. It was a huge debut for a 17-year-old.
Christiana.
As Avril is getting significantly more famous, she's finding herself, as any young woman would, very stressed out by the expectations that have been placed on her.
Okay, so this is where we come to the theory. So Avril's struggling to cope. She says to the record label, I can't do this anymore. She's like, I can't cope. I'm not coping. It's too much for me. And they're like, okay, no worries. Sit down, relax. We've got a double for you called Melissa Vandella. Right, so they got this woman called Melissa Vandella. Some people say Avril already knew her. Some people say they don't, that she was a complete stranger. And they brought her in to do the kind of low-level stuff that Avril, to ease the pressure off Avril. So, you know, just the shit jobs.
Like record the album, make the videos, do the interviews.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The work.
So like there was actually like a different Avril Lavigne, you don't know.
So all that difficult stuff that she was struggling with, Melissa started doing. Allegedly. Then we know that Avril's life came crashing down in 2003 when her grandfather died. This is a clip of her making an emotional public announcement to fans in Dublin, recorded by someone in the crowd.
This show tonight goes out to my grandpa who passed away today.
The theory goes on to suggest that Avril full-blown died. Record company got together and they're like, okay, things have escalated.
She goes on a really long hiatus, no press, no appearances, no interviews, nothing.
So they think that that was when Melissa went off to be trained up as the new Avril and that Avril had already passed.
So I get that that's the story, but those internet theories, they're usually quite light on the facts.
Mm.
Like, do you have any evidence? You look very upset.
I know you're a dibble for the detail, which I don't appreciate. It's one of my least favourite traits in you, but I have brought facts for you, Gro, because I knew you'd demand them. So anyway, Melissa /Avril comes back. We'll call her Mavril.
Okay.
Comes back on the scene. Everyone's like, hold on a second. Avril's totally changed. She went from being really angsty, anti-establishment, cool rock chick to a very, and these are not my words, but this is what the internet says, to a bubblegum pop princess in a relatively short period of time. She started smiling.
That sounds like they just got the dose right.
I know what you're saying. I know, yeah. It could be, she could be medicated. You're right. Yeah.
Medication.
They could have just given her a sound bell and a candle. But yeah, her clothing style changed completely. Like, she was famous for that rock chick look.
Yeah.
And then she went, here, look, hold on. I know the listeners can't see this, but there's Avril, the OG, right? I showed Garoud a photo comparison. Christiana helpfully described what we were seeing.
Avril seemed to prefer wearing dress pants with white tank tops, a men's tie, etc.
Moody, that tie that she was always wearing.
Melissa seemed to prefer dresses, seemed to love wearing mini skirts.
That's a big change.
That's girly now. Pink dress, long blonde hair. All she's missing is a chihuahua in a little tiny bag.
Proper sorority girls.
She's gone proper sorority.
Before we continue, time for a quick break.
It's 2011 and the Arab Spring is raging. A lesbian activist in Syria starts a blog. She names it Gay Girl in Damascus.
Am I crazy? Maybe.
As her profile grows, so does the danger.
The object of the email was, please read this while sitting down.
It's like a genie came out of the bottle and you can't put it back.
Gay Girl Gone. Available now.
Now, where were we?
Right, I want you to do some imagination at home, people. Or better yet, whack Spotify on, pick your favourite Avril song from her debut album and listen along. The reason I'm asking you to do this is because, well, we can't afford the rights, to be honest. Off air, I played Garoud, Skater Boy and Complicated for free.
Complicated and Skater Boy, you'd be hard pushed now to find,
I know,
better pop songs.
They're brilliant. They're like, what do they call them? Little earworms? Is that what they call them?
Mm. Bangers.
And then you've more recent songs, like for example, this one called Hello Kitty. Lyrics here, very different. Let's play Truth or Dare now. We can roll around in your underwear. How every silly little kitty should come a kitty kitty. You're so pretty, pretty. Don't go kitty kitty. Stay with me.
That sounds like somebody doing a TikTok to promote their OnlyFans.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, kitty, kitty, dirty kitty. It's not, it doesn't sound like her.
I also think that if somebody had presented that to the old Avril,
she would have gotten sick on her tie. Actually, that song was co-written by Avril and her one-time fella, Chad Kruger from Nickelback. Do you remember them? Back in the days of Polly Pocket and Tamagotchis. And there was two other lads in the band called David Hodges and, Martin Johnson. So maybe it was one of them who was into the whole kitty kitty lyric thing. I don't know. Who could tell? I wasn't there. Christiana and Silas.
Where did Avril go? Who is this person? This is not the Avril that we know and love.
We can chalk that all up to like maturing, years go by, people change. There are some physical characteristics that seem irrefutably different and we don't have an explanation.
This will be the one thing that you will really get me on. It's like, I do think the physical appearance change was
noticeable.
Very noticeable.
It was, yeah.
It's the eyes.
It's the eyes.
The eyes were like rectangles.
Yeah.
And now they're
round. Circles. Yeah. They were like two dice sitting in her head.
Now they're fried eggs.
Shape of her eyes, nose, lips, jawline, freckles, mouths, loads of stuff changed. Look, I know people get work done. I understand that.
Would work do that?
See, I don't know because she just looks different. She doesn't necessarily look better looking or worse looking or any. It's, you know, there are sometimes people get a facelift and then they look, oh, actually, you're more attractive. She just looks the same level of attractiveness because she was always attractive. But now she's this different shaped face. I don't think surgery could do that. And I do feel I am in a position. I love a treatment.
I'm in that world, unqualified, but I am in it.
I feel like that what's different in those photographs is quite fundamental.
She's got like a new head. Then we move on to the change of voice. Now, this is a huge one.
Okay.
Avril had a distinctive low voice.
I chose to record for a compilation album for War Child, which is called Songs of Peace.
Yeah, there's a bit of a growl in
there.
There was
a growl there, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But that was just me singing complicated, did you? Did you get that?
I didn't know you could do that.
I know. I'm a triple threat. And then, according to her replacement theory, her voice did change. And it did. I have spent a lot of time, too much time, in fact, listening to videos of her pre-Melissa, allegedly, and post-Melissa.
The song that I'm going to perform for you guys is the first song that I ever learned to play guitar to.
This clip was recorded and broadcast by MTV. Presumably, they don't change the pitch of people's voices, so we got to assume the voice you're hearing is Avril or fake Avril, but it's definitely different.
I wonder, is she... Do you think...
No. Probably not. We'll end on that. That's a good out.
The most compelling evidence that there is a change between that Avril and this Avril is the difference in the handwriting.
Whatever about physical appearance, whatever about voice, you can change, learn, maybe. But her handwriting changed completely. And I have to say, I do think her handwriting stays with you for life.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
It'll change. You know, you won't do hearts on the eyes. You're not going to do your like teen bubble writing. But the bone of it stays the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It does.
Yeah, your L's and your Y's.
All that, you know, yeah.
You're always going to loop the same way. And how did they know her handwriting changed? Like,
I'll defer to Christiana.
When Avril in 2017 was most recently posting about working on a new album, she had written basically and posted the beginning lyrics to a song and noticed right away was mostly in capital letters, which is a significant change from how she used to write.
That is weird.
Yeah.
I was having much more success convincing her out than I thought I would. Now, granted, I was skimming over most of the evidence. I did not allow him to squeeze in his painful scepticism. But as well as the change of physical appearance, as well as the change of handwriting, Avril's autograph changed notably. Silas agreed.
The autograph has definitely changed. 100%.
It went from jagged straight lines, cool and slick, to all bubbly with the love heart in the place of the dot above the eye, which is still how I sign my checks. Then Melissa, the new Avril, was seemingly shorter than her older incarnation. According to some reports, Avril shrank from 158 centimetres to 154. I don't know what that means, but it sounds unlikely. Christiana.
How do you lose an inch? How do you lose a whole inch? When she was getting famous, 16, 17 years old, if anything, you're getting taller, not shorter.
Then there's another weird story about a man called Evan Taubenfeld. He was a member of Avril's band and, by all accounts, one of her best friends. But in September 2003, he suddenly up and left. Years later, he co-wrote a song with Avril or Melissa, depending on your stance. And here's a snippet of the lyrics. We had the best years of our lives, but you and I would never be the same. September took me by surprise, and I was left to watch the seasons change. I never thought this could ever end. Never thought I'd lose my best friend. Everything is different now. Yes, Evan, you're right. Everything is different.
So there's this photo shoot. She's blonde, okay? She's looking right at the camera.
The last and arguably the most compelling piece of evidence in my arsenal is from a photo of Avril circa 2011.
And the name Melissa is written on her hand. It's not being hidden at all. This is not an Easter egg. This is a cry for help.
Randomly, it makes no sense. Like none. She's got Melissa written across her hand and she's kind of gently punching herself in the chin. No explanation, no nothing.
just Melissa.
If that was her, why would she do that?
Because I think she's trapped.
Melissa?
Yeah. I call her Mel, but yeah. You can call her Melissa, you don't know her that well.
So, you think that she made this decision when she was younger and now she's like, I'm stuck being Avril Lavigne for the rest
of
my life?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I think there's a need in her to send little subliminal messages. Maybe she knows that the theory is there. Maybe she knows. She probably does. And she's trying to feed it a little bit to go, yeah, it is me. Melissa. Britney did it. When she was trapped in her conservatorship, she tried to tell us all about it. You know, maybe Melissa is doing the same thing.
It is as if Melissa Vandella took out a big billboard on the side of the road that says, help me.
But what about Avril's actual world, you know? Like her mom, dad, or...
Oh, I think they all know. Yeah, but I think they're getting royalties. Like, I would be able to justify that really easily. Do you think if I died, my mum wouldn't have a fake out in the stage?
She absolutely
So she could buy her an electric car and get her shutters on the front of the house? Of course she would. So that's what I have so far.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think you're going to have to do a bit more. I mean, I think there's evidence there, but I'm not sure how...
Strong
it is. I think you might need to back it up. But I am willing to... support you.
Thank you, Greg. So I'll go off, do a little bit more research.
Okay. If you get in too deep, I'll pull you back.
I am quite a serious journalist, so I live the story.
I know. I can't believe you have a BBC pass.
Well, I know. I don't actually yet, but I don't know why there was an issue with that. But anyway, I didn't have time to wait for my BBC pass to arrive. Frankly, it never did. I had to find the proof. Something that would prove beyond all doubt that Avril Lavigne died in 2003 and was replaced by a woman called Melissa. That pass never arrived. It's fucking rude.
Right, I'm back a day later. I'm at Avril's second sold-out show outside the Grand Alexandra Palace.
I needed to confront her.
Tonight, it is playing host to a cover-up equally as grand.
Armed with a dossier of neatly organised evidence and a newfound purpose, I made my way to what looked like the stage door.
Is this the stage door?
Yes.
Is there anyone? So can I come in?
Who are you?
So I am an investigative journalist from the BBC. My name is Joanne McNally. I don't know if that rings any bells.
It doesn't mean anything.
No. I'm actually a good friend of Avril's. And she had said, she put my name on the list, tickets down at the box office, and she's forgotten. And she's not online, obviously, because she's up on the stage or whatever. So I was just wondering, can I sneak in?
So who did you speak to?
Avril.
My first tactic was what us journalists call... lying.
I have to speak to someone, but yeah, you have to wait here.
It's Joanne McNally.
You have to wait here.
I will do so. I will. I'll wait here.
I waited here, but my new friend never came back.
Sorry, I'm with the BBC. Can I speak to Avril Lavigne, please?
I found another door where I tried a new tactic. Honesty.
No, you ain't got no accreditation to get in, so they ain't going to let you in.
Just go in and get Avril and tell her Joanne's here from the BBC. They always say yes to the BBC.
They didn't say yes to the BBC.
It's not going to happen.
Why?
You ain't got no accreditation to get in.
I literally just want to know if she's alive. This is a welfare check. Tell her it's a welfare check. It can be Avril or Melissa. I really don't mind. Either will do. Your man hasn't a clue. He's not accredited either. This shit wouldn't happen to Louis Theroux. Tell them I'm Louis Theroux. Has anyone got a pen? I'll just draw a tash on.
As I walked away, deflated, humiliated, without a shred of self-respect, I felt the death stare pierce the back of my head. I was not welcome. I started to feel very conspiratorial.
I mean, you'd have to ask yourself, what has she got to hide? Like, why? Like, is it that she doesn't want me to see her up close? Is that what it is? It's suspicious. I will get to the bottom of this. Mark my words.
Where would I find the bottom of this? Well, Canada. Maybe. Maybe I had to trace Avril's origin story to work out if there was any truth to this scandal. Could it actually be true? So I'm in Heathrow Airport. I've just come through security. I'm on my way to Canada. and I've just sent an email to Avril's agent, so I'm guessing by the time I land, they'll have replied, and I expect to have set up an interview, and we can just put this to bed early doors, in and out. Touchdown in Toronto and a reply from Avril's agent. So I've just got off the plane in Toronto, flicked my phone on straight away, obviously straight to the mails after, you know, 20 minutes on the gram. And I've a response from the agent. It's really disappointing. It's a firm no. But at the end of the email, his sign off very strangely has a skull and crossbones and a line that says, never say die. What the hell does that mean? I mean, it has to mean something, surely. You think that's crazy? Next time on Who Replaced Avril Lavigne, I track down the one person who can solve this riddle once and for all.
If you can't be totally honest, that's totally fine. Is this, you're not, are you Avril's father?
Who Replaced Avril Lavigne is produced by What's the Story Sounds for BBC Sounds and CBC Podcasts. The presenter was me, Joanne McNally. Our producer and editor is Callum McRae. From What's the Story, my executive producers are Daryl Brown and Sophie Ellis. Not that one. At BBC Sounds, the commissioner is Louise Cattenhorn and the assistant commissioner is Lorraine Aquafina. At CBC Podcasts, Sarah Claydon is our producer, Chris Oak is executive producer, and Arif Narani is the director.
Well, this is news to me. I haven't heard any of these.
You know, for most brown people, sex chat is off the cards.
Not us. We love talking about it.
From online dating to offline mating.
I'm feeling fresh, you're feeling fresh, let's get fresh.
We're back with a new series of Brown Girls Do It Too.
That is so specific.
Hit honest, real and thought-provoking conversations about one of the most pleasurable experiences our mothers can never talk about.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what you call a tease.
Brown Girls Do It Too.
Listen on BBC Sounds.